Invite you to turn your Bibles with 1 John chapter 4, the epistle of 1 John chapter 4, and want to deal with what the previous chapter gave indication about and segued into this fourth chapter. Love is being spoken about here at the end of the third chapter, and it speaks about assurance found in our obedience of Him, and about the Lord being greater than our heart. He knows all things, and if our heart condemn us, we condemn us not. We have confidence toward God. It's good to have conviction of the Lord. You know, we think about not having any conviction, just being on our own and just whatever we did that made sense to us, even though it was wickedness and against the Lord, nothing happened. I mean, there's a world of folks that are like that, that happens. It's good to have that conviction. It's a blessing from the Lord. And in this relationship, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, verse 22 of chapter 3, because we keep His commandments, obedient children, because He loves us, because He saved us. We don't keep His commandments to keep Him happy, to keep Him off our back. You know, because a lot of people live that way. There's a lot of religions that are that way. It's that same thing of, we spoke about recently, about how the Lord, he's not interested in sacrifice and burnt offering, but He wants obedience. I mean, that's the way to show love for the Lord, is to obey Him, to hearken unto Him, to hear and to do what He says. And so this is the way of the children of God, is that we seek to obey Him. We keep His commandments, do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And then we should believe the commandment that we've received. Verse 23 is, we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how we have been saved. But as His children, we continue to do so. You still believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? Yeah, we do. We do continually. And love one another, as He gave His commandment. Verse 24, and he that keepeth His commandment, and he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, abiding in Christ. Like we see in the Gospel of John, the Lord gives a message there, an instruction about abiding in Him, like the branches abide in the vine. We're to abide in Him in that way. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him, the Lord in us. And hereby we know that He abideth in us. How we know that He abides in us? By the Spirit which He hath given unto us. And so here this afternoon, we want to embark upon the fourth chapter and see this about what the Scripture says about this of the Spirit. As the Lord is three persons, body, soul, and spirit, a trichotomy, if you will, I mean, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, so are we a trichotomy, body, soul, and spirit. Our body, that's easy to see. Your soul, that is who you are eternally from the time of conception. That's where in the mind of the Lord, all souls are at hand. But we come from not being to being. And with that, Lord gives the soul. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 talks about how it will be when the body fails. The body, this earthen body, this carnal flesh goes back to the dust, and the soul will go back to God who gave it. And that's for reckoning, for judgment. And so we're made body, soul, and spirit. So body we see, soul is that eternal part of us. Once the soul has been created and given by God, it will live forever somewhere. And then there's this aspect of the spirit. And what is it about the spirit? How is it about the spirit? When you're reading the Scripture, you have to keep an eye out, because sometimes soul and spirit are used interchangeably. So you have to understand about context there and flesh that out. Sometimes it's hard to separate between soul and spirit, but they are different. I think Ephesians chapter 2 in verse number one, it gives us understanding about this, and we can just cut to the chase with it. Let's go ahead and turn over there, and I think that helps us to understand about this, about the Spirit. And this is a hallmark passage for we Baptists. And you hath he quickened, Ephesians 2:1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wait a minute. 1987, before I was saved, I was very much alive physically. And of course, we know the soul is eternal. I think we all can understand that and see that's the case from the time that the Lord gives it and creates it. The soul will live forever. My heart was beaten before I was saved, and it was my body, this fleshly body, heart beating, mind working, was just as much working. So then how was it that we were dead? Well, the soul's not dead. The body was alive. And so I think it's this, we understand it, that it's this of the Spirit. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Let's look and see about the context of that. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. We get that, the way the world works. According to the prince and the power of the air. Now, who's that? That's Satan. Okay? And none of us have ever seen Satan. But he's just as real as you and I are standing here in this building. Okay, so he's very real. But not ever, the Lord does not allow him to be physically manifested, and no testimony of the scripture other than when he was before the Lord Jesus Christ tempting him while the Lord was in the wilderness. But to my recollection in the scripture, there's no other physical manifestation of Satan on this side to persons on this side that's allowed by God. But that doesn't mean he's not real. He's very, very real. So we understand it, and as we would speak about it, Satan is an entity, a character that operates on the spiritual side, over there on the other side. We know from the book of Daniel that the angels wrestle in warfare, that the angels and the fallen angels pursue, the angels of God pursue the will of God, and the fallen angels resist the will of God and fight and look to hinder and all that. All that's very real. That's not pie in the sky or ooey gooey imaginary stuff. That's for real happening. So here, and wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So this of the Spirit, before we were saved, before, as the word here is used, quickened, made alive. Well, wait a minute. The soul was alive. The body was alive. Well, what was dead? Well, our spirit was dead. That's the way that we understand and reckon it, is that spiritually, the ability to communicate with the Holy Spirit from our standpoint to him was dead, like dead men. And the Lord ordained it that the preaching of his gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit comes and makes people alive. And how is it? Do we have any life in ourselves? You know, we're the first ones to stand up and say there's no little ember or no little flame to fan to get anybody to get sparked up and burning. You know, that's one metaphor that's used to describe about us. When you're dead, you're dead. Okay. How is it we're made alive? Well, it's the same way that the Lord took those who were dead in his day and caused them to be alive. He gives life. How does he do that? By his spirit. His spirit lives within us. That's a definition of being saved. So body, we see that. That's easy. We were born with that, and we'll be all of us, all three of our all other two of our parts are here within this body. It will go until the time of our death or our rapture out of here. Our soul, it was given to us and created by God at conception and will go and live eternally, never dies. Except for those who are not saved, will enter into the lake of fire, which is in a sense eternal death, but never getting to the accomplishment of that. And that's kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around, but that's what that is, the second death. That's the reason it's called such. But this in the spirit, we go from, well, isn't that what the Lord tells us? We go from death unto life. And it's a spiritual affair. And it's the Spirit of God coming to live within us. And so that's what we want to take a look at here this afternoon, is about this of the Spirit of the Lord and the Spirit within us and some of what the Scripture says about that. If you're not saved, you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior so that you might be made alive. Without having that life, there is a second death that awaits you. But to be born twice is to only die once, and that's only die in the flesh. And that's the way it is. Born twice, die once. Born once, die twice. That's the reason it's the second death. So this of the Spirit of God, the blessing, the earnest, as the Scripture tells us, as the Lord tells us, the earnest of our inheritance. By the Spirit of God living within us, we who the Lord has saved, those that the Lord has saved over the millennia, we have the Spirit of the Lord within us, and therein is how we have life. We're made alive. In and of ourselves, I'll say it this way and explain this. In and of ourselves, we cannot communicate with God. God can communicate with whomever he wants to, okay? But we cannot communicate with God. But being saved, we have the Spirit of God living within. We can now communicate with God. We've got an open door, we are bid by the Lord to communicate with him. He is worshiped when we communicate with him, okay? And we know that as prayer. And rejoicing. Brother John says in the book of Revelation, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. He was like the psalmist we saw this morning, right? He was inditing a good thing. It was the day, the Lord's day, the first day of the week, and John was thinking about the Lord and rejoicing in the Lord and thinking about, no doubt, the Old Testament scriptures and looking to worship the Lord there, being in his exile on Patmos. You know, he was taking that day to focus upon the Lord. Without the Spirit of God living within, without being made alive, without being saved, there would be no capacity to do so. What would be had would be cold religion, cold religious practice. But here, with the Spirit of God within, it's alive. So how do we know that he abides in us? By the Spirit which he hath given us. And so made very clear there. Chapter 4, beloved, believe not every spirit. So there are other spirits at hand, aren't there? How is it that we know in the Scripture that there are other spirits at hand? Well, let's take Mary Magdalene. She was possessed of 7 spirits. She was possessed of 7 devils, wasn't she? And the Lord saved her and cast them out and put his spirit within her. Okay? So there are other spirits, even to the point of possessing people. Now, the children of God are saved. The Lord tells us and makes it very plain that we are not subject to be possessed by any other spirit, because the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus, living within us, is the strong man. Nobody can whip him. He comes in and whips everybody else. The demoniac at Gadara. The name of the spirits that possessed him were legion, because they were maybe even in the thousands. It seems like that's the indication. All of them cast out by the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God. That man is brought from going around wanting to destroy himself to being brought to, hey, let me go with you. He wanted to get in the boat with the Lord and go with him, didn't he? But the Lord gave him another mission to accomplish. So there are other spirits. Believe not every spirit. Our young people, all of us face it, but our young people we perceive to be most vulnerable. There are spirits at hand. Let's just kind of evaluate this in our day. There are spirits at hand in our world and in our culture that says that pitch the pitch the pitch that if you're a boy, you're not a boy. That's a spirit. There's a pitch that's made if you're a girl, you've been born a girl, that you're not a girl. There's a spirit that's pitched about forget about marriage. Marriage is old-fashioned and blasé. Just go ahead and shack up however you want to. There's a spirit at hand that goes out that says, you know what? Whatever it is you want to accomplish, the means justifies the ends. If you think it's what you need to do and what's right, if you can get it done, the survival of the fittest rules. Is that what the Lord says about survival of the fittest? No, that is what Darwin says about the survival of the fittest. Dog eat dog. So there are many spirits. If you see it, there's a spirit that says, if you see it and you want it, take it. Right? I mean, that's what rulers and kings and conquerors of the world said. They would go into other nations that did not belong to them at all and look to just take them over. There's all kinds of spirits at hand. We need to take and try them. Now what this is talking is not talking about sampling them, okay? Take on that spirit for a while, see if you like it and pitch it out. No, we need to take it and weigh it. Weigh that spirit against what? How about the Spirit of God that we have within us? How about the word and speaking of the Spirit of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, right? I mean, inspiration of the Scriptures, they've been inspired. The Spirit worked through the brethren that gave the spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't just say, yeah, I had never heard that before. That sounds good. Let's line up. No, try it. Try it, try, but try, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. So there may be spirits. There indeed are spirits that are not of God. And there is that working of the Spirit that is of God. We need to find out if they are or not. Spirits in the culture about what we do, where we go, what we watch, what we listen to, what we wear, what we don't wear, how we speak. Interesting how the culture takes and manipulates the language and words that when I was a kid were vile and wicked and used for cursing now are just made very light and just kind of fluffy and used by everybody. It's got to try the spirits, see whether they be of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So we might think that false prophets, oh, okay, so this is just religious context and there's going to be somebody come up in some kind of priestly prophetic getup. And when I see that, then I need to be on guard. You know, there's false prophets politically. There are false prophets technologically. There are false prophets in society. There are false prophets civically. There are false prophets finally. There's false prophets, somebody preaching a false word against God in every realm of life. You name it. You name it. And so we are told by the Lord, by the Scriptures here, by Brother John writing, we need to try the spirits. Is that of God? Or is that something that's not of God? Why? Because there's many false prophets, false teachers, false promoters that are going out into the world. Let's be reminded of this passage over in 2 Corinthians. We need to know this is the case. We don't need to receive things on how they look. Our young people are tempted as they go on to, as I started to talk about earlier, as they go on to higher education, there's a spirit that's out there that is promoted and taken again, used on young people to beat them down, to say, this place was not created by anybody. You are an animal, just like the ones down at the zoo and running around in the woods, and you just happen to come out on top. Matter of fact, it's really just a big mistake that you're here. And what's another spirit that's promoted? Of all the ills on the earth, you're the biggest one. That's another spirit that's very prominent in our day. Humankind. See, isn't it all bizarro? I mean, I think that's the right word to use. It's bizarro land when the Darwinists would say survival of the fittest. But when the fittest have survived, you need to do yourself in. It's madness, isn't it? And see, it is a religion indeed. It is a false spirit. Because see, you've got to remember, the spirits that be of God are holy, just, righteous. The word of God is pure. Just like gold and silver would be refined in a furnace, you can't go wrong following the word of God. But you know what Satan's going to pitch? Satan and his minions are always going to pitch something that's going to destroy you and me. It's going to compromise mankind because Satan hates mankind. And it's always going to be a pitch that's going to take us and drag us down. Look to drag us away from the Lord rather than closer to the Lord. Word of God, the spirits that are of the Lord, they always draw near in obedience, in fellowship, in service. The way Satan works, compromise, 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 destruction, destruction, destruction. Mark it down. It's the way that it is. And that's just one. It's just one in how they're connected. Look at this. We need to know this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 11, wherefore, because I love you not, this is Paul speaking to the church at Corinth. Some of them say that he's just giving them a hard time and he's hard-headed, high-minded, and he just hasn't arrived to the new thinking that he needs to arrive at. And he says, why am I getting on you? Because I dislike you? No, because I love you. He says, because I love you not? No, what's implied is because I love you. He said, God knows why I am rebuking you and reproving you. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. He said, I'm plain and open with you with no deceit. I want these that come in here looking to seduce you and pitching this other stuff and pitching these other spirits. I want them to be just as plain and just as open too. So you can see what's going on. They are deceitful workers. They are false apostles, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, because this is the company that they keep company with. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So you got to watch out. Sound good, look good, that's not the judge. Got to take it and compare it up with what God says. The Holy Spirit of God within. The word of the Holy Spirit of God inspired and given unto us. That's what we need to try it with, to weigh it. And again, the word try doesn't mean to like sample it and see if it's any good or not. It means to take it, get it out in the open, honestly, for what it is. Look at the ramifications. Look at the end if we go with this. Is it honoring to the Lord? Is it to my benefit? Does it cause me to be a good witness for my Lord and Savior or poor? Do I blend in with the rest of the world or do I stand out for what's right in Christ? We need to try it. We need to try. We've got to know the word of God to do it. Because remember, Satan can look real, real good. What's it go on to say? Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Oh, your pastor, your parents, they just don't understand how it is today. That's maybe was good for 10 or 20 years ago, but not now. I mean, after all, have we not advanced? Have we not improved? I mean, that's the way that it flies, isn't it? That's the way that it comes about. That's another pitch that young people are given. Again, going on in from grammar school, going into higher education. Your parents do not know what they're talking about. I mean, it's hard. It's starting in grammar school now, right? I mean, that's a spirit that's flown across there. Listen, if you got parents that are saved, you got parents that look to the Word of God, need to listen to what the Lord says. And if your parents are godly, follow after the Lord, have been saved by the Lord, need to listen to them. Because there's spirits out there that say, your parents don't have a clue what they're talking about. They're living in a dark hole. No. If they have the Word of God, they're saved, need to listen. Because good parents have been given to help young people and to help children. These things will come about. Therefore is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Listen, whose end shall be according to their works. You don't want to follow anybody whose end will be according to what they work. Because all of our righteousnesses, the best on our best day, are like filthy rags before the Lord. Need the righteousness of Christ. Need the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then having been rescued in such a great, glorious, marvelous, magnificent way, we certainly need what he says to live the rest of our time, don't we? Try the spirits. Try the spirits indeed. And so we come back over to the first John. False prophets going out in the world, remember about how good Satan looks, and even his ministers, how good they'll look. Take it and try the word of the Spirit against the word of God. Verse number 2, hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, this is directly the answer. So then how the spirit of abortion, I mean, the spirit of abortion is great in our land, isn't it? Does the spirit of abortion, does that confess that Jesus Christ, does that confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? It doesn't, does it? Because it's murderous. It doesn't line up with the way of the Lord, the will of the Lord, the word of the Lord. It doesn't line up, does it? And so there is this of Antichrist that'll be alluded to, okay, here in this passage, and has been talked about already. It's being touched on again. But does it glorify Christ? Does it glorify the Lord as we try these spirits? The Spirit of God is manifested by confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Is that of, does evolution, does that confess that about Christ? Not at all. It's contrary to the Lord. And every social issue that we face today that is prevalent in our society is just a out front slam against the word, authority, directive of God Almighty. Mark it down. Got to try the spirits. This of anarchy in our nation, is that of God? No. No, it's not. They promise freedom. We just saw here earlier in the year, in a place that they promised freedom, people were dying, being killed, being abused, being taken advantage of, just in those little spots out west. There needs to be law and order. Verse number 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And so we've got, from the standpoint of politically and civilly, we've got a whole group of people looking to run states, localities, and the nation that deny totally and completely deny the Lord Jesus Christ and deny God. And that is no good. There is no help or success in that. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, against Christ, saying not Christ. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Okay. Whereof you have heard that it should come, even now already it is in the world. And so if it was in the world in John's day, it's certainly in the world in our day, isn't it? It is. You are of God, little children. Listen to this. Ye are of God, little children. Are you a child of God? It's so such a fitting place and title before our Lord. You know what? We don't know our own way. We can't figure out our own way. But the Lord is our way. And it's very plain if we look for our way and look to establish our way be established in Him. If we commit our way into Him, He will bless and He will lead us. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. How? Well, by trying the spirits, by knowing the Word of God, consuming. We need the Scripture in us. We need to consume the Word of God, consume it, have it in us. Thereby the Spirit has something to work with, to teach us. You talked about growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. We've talked about that in our class, about growing in the grace of the Lord. I talked about that in the past week, growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We kind of have an outline there about growing in knowledge. What's it mean for Him to be Lord? What's it mean for Him to be Savior? What's it mean for Him to be Jesus? What's it mean for Him to be Christ? I got a little outline there about growing in the knowledge. What do we know about those things? What do we know about the interconnect of those things? What do we know about the ramification, the far-reaching implication of knowledge of those points about our Lord Jesus? We need to grow. We need to have His Word of God, the Word of God in us. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Who is it that's in us? Our Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God. Let's take a look at some passages here. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse number 12. Romans 8, verse number 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So there's that Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Okay, in that work of the Lord's salvation, the Spirit of God coming within makes it to where we can communicate now with our Lord, and we cry unto Him, Daddy, Father, if you will. That's what that word Abba means, that name Abba. It means a father. Or daddy, it's a little bit more personal than just saying Father. For the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We've been made alive. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. And so it's by the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God. It's a manifestation. We are the sons of God. And not we've not received a spirit of bondage, again, to fear. That's what we had before. But we received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out unto our Heavenly Father, led by His Spirit. And through the Spirit we mortify. So this here in verse number one, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. We need to try it by this spirit that lives within us. Galatians chapter 4. Let's take a look here. Galatians 4. This is the other place. Well, let's read verses 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors, governors, until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. He's talking about the time that elapsed, and the time that elapsed in time, the law being given, Christ having not yet come, but being promised, but then Christ coming in this fullness of time, under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, like I spoke about over there in Romans. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts. So the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And so the ramifications of that are great. But we see here the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Son being given unto us. And it's by that Spirit we are to try. So then in this, in verse number 4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay. The scripture also speaks about the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will raise us. Okay? Let's take a look over here in Ephesians chapter 4 regarding this in verse number 4 in 1 John about greater is he than is in us, than he that is in the world, the one by whom we are to try the spirits. What's it say here? He is in us. So what if we fail at trying the spirits? We just say, I like that, and I just go on after it without trying it, without weighing it. What can happen? The Spirit of God's living within. You know, the Spirit of God's not over here on our shoulder and comes and goes. But he's living within. Now, this is the temple of the Lord now, right? Lives within. Everywhere we go, he's there with us watching. Everything we think, he's there watching that too. Everything we see and how we evaluate and turn that around, he's there watching too. Everything we say, he's there listening too. He's in us. Okay? He's in us. Our thinking, our desires, our pursuits, all of that is there. And so here, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What's it say here in Ephesians 4 verse 30? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm sure you know this one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Very short verse. Verse number 19. We have a command here about He's exhorting us, the apostle is, in verse number 19, quench not the Spirit. Don't grieve him. Don't quench him. Then you know what that means? It means that it's possible that we may do so. We may quench. We may grieve. He's here within us and has given by such has given us life. He is greater than those spirits in the world. But we have a great responsibility, don't we? A great challenge that as we go, that we not grieve him, but that we take his word and his leadership and we weigh these spirits that come at us. And the decision that we make may please the Lord or could grieve the Lord. Because if we're told not to, it's possible that we can. So we need to try the spirits, don't we? We need to see if they are of God. And so may the Lord help us to always keep that in mind. Let's go on back here to 1 John 4 and we'll close. You are of God, little children, verse number 4, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we have victory. We have victory in our Lord if we avail ourselves to what he has given us, who he has given us, and his word that he has given us. And then we have, of course, this of prayer, that the Lord lets, we are able to petition him. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world. So that's more plain. And the world heareth them. So these false prophets, these false teachers, of these spirits that are floated by all over the place, and so many, they're of the world. And you know what? Those of the world just lap it right up. May we not do so. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. And so there's a distinction. There's a contrast between wanting to hear what God says and rejecting what God says. And so with spirits, we need to consider the pitch that is given. But I tell you what, also consider who's given the pitch too. Are they godly? Are they holy? Do they follow and work the will of God? I mean, watch what company you keep, that we keep. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And so if we're following after what the Lord says, then there'll be a fellowship, won't there? If the spirit is the same, but if the spirit is contrary, then there won't be fellowship. And so we can know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error so long as we ourselves are found following after truth. Okay, it's not just whatever we do is what's going to be right, but if we're following our Lord, then we find ourselves in truth, then others walking and following in truth will agree. Not because of us personally, but because of the word of the Lord. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. And so may the Lord help us with that. He's going to move on in to talking about love again in verse number 7. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that is born of God and knoweth God. So we'll go back into that, Lord willing, next time.